You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Introducing Wondersuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the Wondersuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Peace, family, is 19 Keys with the 19 Keys podcast. You're listening to a high-level conversation. Tap in. All right, a word from one of our sponsors. Make sure you tap into Goldwater Products. After you come listen to the information, you're going to need your memory stimulated so you can download everything in that prefrontal cortex. You want to make sure that hippocampus area of your brain that regulates mood, memory, and learning is fully functional and tapped in. Therefore, you want to tap into Goldwater. They have Smart Moss, Sports Moss, Vitamin C Moss, Colloidal Silver. They have just about everything that you, your child, and your whole entire family needs to stimulate your brain and your body and to make sure that your immune system is functioning. Before you tap into this great high-level conversation, listen to this song by Tezu Kulando called Goldwater.
You're listening to Trap Art TV's Nothing's Random podcast, starring 19 Keys and Biamechi. Enjoy!
Nah, matching it, put the hours in and stay passionate. Wasn't blowing money, I was stacking it. Figure what the fuck I wanna do in life and practice it.
Alright, people, so here's the deal. We were gonna do a podcast today at about 2:30. We didn't end up doing that. A lot of situations happened, some situations changed. We actually got some productive things in today, doing some marketing for the podcast, some photos. We're gonna show y'all a little bit about that in a little bit, but we actually had to end up moving things around, and we're doing the podcast right now at 1 a.m.
Keep going.
1 a.m. But the thing is, nothing is random, and we got to give the people what they want. So it's important for us to keep on this, and no matter what the day is, no matter what the time is, we got to keep these things going. Where we at right now, we're in Maven Mayhem Studios. You see us on the couch. We switched it up from the green screen look because, again, nothing's random. We're going to switch it up and keep it moving like that.
That's right.
What are we going to speak about?
We got a few different topics. You know me. I wanted to... We asked the audience, and the audience is from the live from 19 Keys. And also, you know, just hip-hop, sexual assault, culture, paradigm shift, cryptocurrency, man, a little bit of everything. I'm like really in a space right now to where I really want people to know the time that we live in.
It's the best time.
I'm in love with this time, man.
It's the best time.
It's like, if you're able to recognize how important the time that we're living in right now, you have so much power. And by that, I mean, like, imagine if when the guy first came up with the internet, and he said, Amechi, look, I just came out with this thing. It's called the internet. It's about to be explosive. And he was able to relay that information to where you can understand it, and it just blew your mind. Like, oh, snap. So in order for me to take advantage of this opportunity, I can do X, Y, and Z. Now, that person at that time, if they didn't take advantage of that, years later, they regretted that shit. Like, what the what? I had the opportunity to really, really, really do something great within the internet. They could have been the first Google, Yahoo, Bing, whatever the hell. They could have came up with anything just by understanding it. And right now, we living in that time with the whole cryptocurrency. It's the new internet. That's how big it is. And if people can recognize how big it is and synchronize themselves in the present and become aware instead of focusing energy towards distractions, judgment, and bias or whatever else it is, then they go find themselves powerful and able to take advantage of opportunities that exist. So yeah, I'm frustrated and I'm happy as hell, because I'm frustrated is that a lot of people are going to look back 10 years from now at a wasted opportunity in life.
I would say this. There's people 10 years ago who would say they wasted the opportunity, maybe more than 10 years, on the internet. There's people 10 years from now who are going to say they're going to miss out on the next big thing, right?
Right.
People are always going to miss out, because that to me is, your perspective is positive energy and good vibes.
Right.
You look at something like the age we're in terms of social media, in terms of the different apps being made and how you can... Somebody asked you a question on that 19 Keys channel where we were basically saying, you know, people feed us some questions while you were live. Somebody asked you, what can I do if I can't move, you know, from my... I think something of that nature. What can I do if I can't move, if I physically can't move out of my house?
Right.
And I'm just like, you know, I don't know if you need to get out of your house to make a Tinder or to make a Snapchat or to make... A lot of we have so much access. Your phone, what'd you say earlier today?
Your phone is your briefcase. Is your readiness for business.
So we have everything we need. We got the teleconference on the phone.
Exactly.
We got everything we need. You can connect with people,
man,
and make what you need to make.
We just had the podcast with V Money. You know, Vanessa MD, all the way from Tanzania. I never met her before. She said that someone clued her into my page. She seen it. She was motivated, energized, whatever it was, by the content, and she followed me. She got like 2.7 million followers. Later on, that transformed into an opportunity to live interview her, you know what I mean, with her massive platform for somebody I never met.
How many people? How many people on the live views?
It was 20,000 people. 20,000. I didn't go nowhere. I didn't have to go fly to Africa, do this interview with this. She's a superstar to me. So this thing, this idea that we have to go anywhere but where the opportunity is, which is on this damn phone. Somebody already created the damn phone for you. Don't have to create this thing. It's already created for you.
It's here. It's in your pocket.
You are missing massive opportunities because you don't know how to interface with your own phone. You're not aware of it. But so I guess the question is, how do I become aware of it? How do I see it?
And I think, to me, like, that's the positive energy and good vibes reaction. But there's a flip side to that of, and I've even said this before, I think that social media is the biggest problem of the younger generation.
Mm.
It's also the biggest opportunity at the same time. But
explain that, the problem part.
Well, what I mean is that there's so much, you know, bullying and... you know, so much negativity, and I think that negativity is there anyways, but the social media or the internet gives people the platform to put that out. And there's a little bit of, when you're on the internet and things like that, people have this invisible courage to say whatever they want or do, you know, whatever they want to do.
Yeah, man, the internet gangsters and
internet
trolls.
Internet gangsters.
The real life suckers.
Trolls, man. Like, so, but I know I can handle myself. I know people, but I'm talking about for the younger generation, the people... You know, people have always been bullied. There's always been something. You know, if it's not the internet, it's going to be something else. You know,
do you think the internet bullying is worse than like the physical bullying that the 90s kids had to go through?
I think it's different. And I guess in that sense, I don't think it's the biggest problem in the generation in terms of this is the actual problem, but more so this is the platform that the problem.
That's kind of what I was saying. I said in the video, I made a video about, you know, masculinity and manhood. And I said that it's a little hard to be a man in this time because things are so comfortable for you. You know, you lived in a time where it was so much, like, you can do physically with your hand. The mechanics of being a man was different because you would literally use your hands to produce works. Yeah, and I mean, that's the point that we got this ability for, right?
Fixing things.
But now things are so comfortable and, like, soft and everything. It's to where people want you to speak a certain way. People want their truth delivered a certain way. People are so sensitive. And, you know, I think just that culture of me being having that conversation, that man-to-man conversation, being able to go through the unease and handle it because our makeup, our genetics was designed for us to be able to go through obstacles. Not that it's a bad thing. It's like that's what makes us greater. You know what I mean? Those opportunities to define ourselves by limited circumstances. You know what I mean? Like that opportunity to get past whatever obstacle is in front of us. When you can put your mind to it and you can get past it, that's where greatness comes from. That struggle, that I don't know how I'm gonna do this, but you figure it out. That unease. You know what I'm saying? That finding that balance, that's that manhood spark. And that development of character allows you to go through life and knowing that you can do anything. And so I think a lot of times that, you know, we become softened by our new realities because you have to understand that we are cushioned. You know what I mean? Like a lot of things we don't have to do, like just men and women, how they talk to each other. So in my day, you know what I'm saying? 90s baby, you feel me?
Today.
But but I'm saying like when we had to go to the mall and you would have to go get a
Abercrombie, post up the Abercrombie for
get
no
a
reason
number.
Other than the
all right, just give me a story. I don't know if I ever went to this story. This story is about my brother when he taught me how to get over the fear of talking to girls. And this helped me throughout life.
How old are you?
I'm 27.
How old were you?
Oh, okay.
this was a while ago, right?
Yeah, I was maybe like 13, 14. Okay. You know, maybe younger. Okay. I'm not sure. But my older brother, Ajuan. Shout out to Ajuan.
Shout out to Ajuan.
It was him and Diamond at the time. Shout out to Diamond. And I was with my other younger brother, Yusuf. Shout out to Yusuf.
Shout out to Yusuf.
So we give all love. It's all shout out. So we mention your name, it's a shout out. It's all love if you in one of the stories. So we gonna take it back. Right. So anyway, we at in front of a movie theater to give y'all context. So we in front of a movie theater and my older brother, gangster type, you know what I'm saying? Intelligent being and everything. But he say, if you don't go get these numbers, right, I'm gonna beat your ass. And he said, he didn't just leave it there. He said that he gave us some game after that. Some psychological tools to use. So he said that the worst thing that can happen, two things. She can either slap the hell out of you, or she can say no. Now, he knew I had a level of logic and reasoning within this, right? So I had to make a decision. Do I want my ass beat by him? Or do I want to simply, possibly, of the worst scenario, get slapped by her, which is a physical repercussion, or deal with the mental insecurity of being able to go through a no, a rejection? So I said, I know damn well she not going to slap me, unless she crazy. I knew that much about girls to know that's not how they reacted in situations. And so I said, I think my confidence can deal with the rejection of a no, because the flip side is that it's me getting my ass beat. So I remember making that conscious decision saying, okay, I'm going to go with what's the worst that can happen. So So I end up walking up to her. We found a target. We found a beautiful young lady. Walked up to her, me and my younger brother, and I said, hey, the game was real simple and smooth at that time. Just said, hey, I probably like licked the lips or something, something smooth, I don't know. How you doing? What's your name? She told me her name. And I said,
let's just say Sandra.
And I feel like she looks better than Sandra. Let's say her name was like...
Shout out to all the Sandras. He's hating.
No, look. No.
Yo, future wife would be a Sandra.
She's not a Sandra. Let's just get that right. She was like a...
Zahara.
No, a Soraya-ness. What was that? Caesar? Scissor. Let's say she was a scissor. She said scissor. I love scissor. Shout out to scissor.
Let's just say she's a scissor.
Scissor. So anyway, he messing up my story. So she said my name is Scissor, and I said, can I get your number? And she looked at me and she said, sure. And I didn't have a phone at that time, so I guess I had a pen or something, because I do remember her writing or she had a pen, and so she wrote her name and her number on my hand.
SZA.
And I smiled and I was happy as hell. And I remember walking back to my bruh, and he was like, you got it? And I'm like, yeah, I got
it. Was that the first one? Like, yeah. You were one for one.
That was the first one. Yeah.
Like, you didn't have no misses.
Not that first time. That's probably what really gave me that real confidence. Like,
you're one for one.
That was easy. Yeah.
I think all men go through some sort of aspect of, like, what's more typical, I feel like, is, you know, I didn't have older brothers telling me they were going to beat my ass if that didn't happen. But, you know, I did go through the whole dares. You know, you all right. Go to the mall and it's like, whoever has the most or whoever, you know, has the least has to do X, Y, and Z or something like that, right? And so I feel like those experiences for me were always a little bit of a, you had that pressure that, like, you know, it wasn't necessarily you doing it for yourself, but it's like you had a pressure. It made it the competition. I think that's something that I always identify, that competition with, like, I'm not going to be the one to lose. So I know I kind of don't really want to do
after
this.
After that,
but
it became that.
Right,
it became
right.
Like a numbers game.
Right. You
but
know?
The point of that, because I think I got sort of lost in the point, was I had this huge idea of fear, right? And for no reason at all. Because when I matched my fear with the reality, I seen that they didn't add up. I was like, damn, I created this entire fear from nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, fear is nothing. You just created this huge obstacle of nothing. Mm-hmm. And so once I became aware of my actual power, my actual confidence, and how easy that actually was, I used that forever in life. What's the worst that can happen? That became a key I used to unlock all the situations in life. You know what I mean? And as a man, when you think about the harshest things that you've been through, everything else becomes easy. Like walking in an interview. I was born in St. Louis and raised in West Oakland, moved when I was two. But in St. Louis, I remember when I moved back, just being shot at a few different times and surviving that. And thinking back on that, when I think about that when I go to job interviews, though. I'm like, I've been shot at. Why the fuck can't I talk to this person in this interview? You know what I mean? Using those pressurized life experiences to where I could have died as a man, but I've been through it. You know what I mean? And then you use that and you can get through the rest of life with ease. Because, come on now, I done almost died. You know what I mean? I'd have been through way worse situations than this. And I'll be like, what's the worst that can happen? You know what I mean? And so I think that's where I was trying to connect that story with
people have to use their challenges and their, you know, being underprivileged. Well, that's an opportunity because you have something that privileged people don't have in terms of the drive, maybe the, you know, just being able to flip your situation and to use it to your advantage.
Right.
So I respect that, man. I respect that. And, you know, I feel like even for somebody like me, that whole female situation is also in conjunction with just how Because what you didn't talk about in that story is what your actual game was. I mean, you talked a little bit about the licking your lips, what your name is, can I get your number? You
that was the simplicity of it. It was like...
Okay, the simplicity.
Because
that was,
you had to understand, the girl was simple too. She was young. Okay. We were both young.
Young sisters.
She wasn't really looking for game. She was just looking for someone who would just speak. Cause,
before the album.
Yeah, because she probably was just as nervous as I was.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But you know, girls mature faster. So when she seen somebody cut straight to the point, she probably liked that. Like, oh, he killed. Yeah, give him the number.
So I think one thing that the school, I keep bringing up my school on the last podcast. Now we're talking about it again. My wonderful school, Jabril. My wonderful school in Danville.
Oh, yeah, the white
school. My wonderful school. Yeah. I keep this. Yeah. I love the school, man. So one thing that school taught me was to embrace your weird. That was a weird school, man.
That's what the white people taught you.
That up there, yeah. I mean, we called our teachers by their first names. We went on a trip called the AWE Experience, which is basically a trip to the desert for 26 days.
It was like a cult?
More like a hippie school.
It was more like a cult now.
I guess it was cult.
White people in the desert and stuff, first names.
Anyways, it taught me to embrace my weird. So I feel like a big part of that school was embracing how awkward of a person I am and just being comfortable with that. And for example, you talk about interviews. For me, one thing that usually gets people in interviews is silence. You know, if somebody asks you a question and it's hard,
not feeling people want to just be able to talking.
Yeah, I always like if somebody asks me a good question in an interview, I'll be like, think about that for a second. That's powerful, right?
Ain't that like a 48 law of power or something like that?
It might be. I don't know. But I feel like I learned that, you know, naturally through just my experiences and being comfortable.
Okay, random fact.
Let me finish with this.
Oh, okay. I'm going to keep my hand up.
I'm going to finish with this on the embracing the couple. All right.
Gonna stay up. All right.
The line I use to get my girlfriend... Carla,
Carla.
So the line I used to get Carla. I don't really remember it like this, but this is what she says.
Okay.
She says I approached her and said, "You ready?"
I'm waiting to drop this.
She said I approached her and said, "You have hella hair."
that was the guy. I had never heard that one. Hey, this is next level. Damn, nobody taught me this.
But the key is,
that shit works. We would have said her. You got hella her.
I like the way you do that right there. Okay,
We don't do Chingy.
Chingy was wrong. All right. You raise your hand. Now you don't have your hand.
I was back. I was holding it up there to remember my point. Oh, the interview. Random fact, right?
Nothing's right.
Interview. I'm an interview specialist. I've never... ever had an interview in my life where I didn't get the job, because I understand the key to interviews. A lot of people go into interviews, let's say if it's a big company, it's your dream job, they go in there with the weight of the entire company's reputation with them, and they think that they're interviewing with the company. But the key is, you're not interviewing with the whole company's reputation and history and all of that. You're interviewing with the person. So me loving psychology, I've always went in there and I tried to win the person and not the company. So I simply went in there, had a dialogue with that person on a one-on-one experience, and I was able to get every job that I interviewed for. Now whether I kept the job was totally up to me, but I was able to get it because I understood that when you interview, you're interviewing with people and not companies.
I have not got every job that I've interviewed for, but I will say...
But you was able to use that line to get your girlfriend.
I did. That was key.
Because that was terrible.
And terribly awkward.
I thought you was about to give some like game.
Nah. That's what she says.
I feel like I'm compelled to give them some
interviews,
game now.
On interviews. This is similar to what I said in the last podcast.
Don't use this, people. That worked on her. They're very peculiar people.
Do what you do.
Yeah.
But on interviews, I have not gotten every job that I've interviewed for. But similar to what I said last podcast, if you are going to an interview, right, and you say exactly... what's 100% true to you, if you say who you are, and you do it in a professional way, you don't want to say just everything, right, but you professionally say things that are true. You speak about, you say answers that are true, and things that you are confident in and believe in, and you having the decor, having the back and forth that you would like to have, and you don't get the job, then why would you want to work there? If they don't accept you for who you are, why would you want to work there? It may be a great company that you've aspired to be in. Maybe you need to make your own company. Maybe you need to go to another business, and maybe you need to figure something else out or get the right skills, whatever the case is. But just because you didn't get the job, flip that. You know what I'm saying? Flip that. Let that motivate you. How many successful entrepreneurs and business owners have the story of, not getting this or not getting that or dropping out of this or even finding something better?
I know I've done that.
It's all about keeping forward, keeping strong, all that. I want to talk about something.
My quote. Start a company, mind your own business.
What was the other quote from this? The iPhone one or the phone one? What was that?
Oh, your phone is your briefcase. Your business readiness.
That's all you need. I want to talk about something. I think it's important that we do this so that people know who we are. I mean, this is episode number 2. They got it. Okay. Get to know us. Names.
What you want? Oh.
So, names are very important, man. Whenever I do something, I produce something, I always put B. Amechi. And the reason I do that is because my name is Brendan Amechi Okechukwu. Brendan is my first name. And it was always so weird to me because my father's Nigerian, my mother's black, she's from here. And it was always interesting to me that her first name is Nigerian.
Shout out to your sister.
Shout out to Amaka, man. Her first name is Nigerian. Her middle name is, American. And then we have, obviously, a last name.
Her middle name is American?
Yeah.
Like, that's the actual name, American.
That's like a cool name, though. American?
If you want to conquer people and enslave them and oppress them.
But, I mean, there's other sides to America.
With like the sexual assault culture.
Anyways, her name is her American name is Camille. That's her, American name. It's her middle name. Okay. And so it always interested me that my parents named her a Nigerian first name, a not Nigerian middle name, and the last name.
Right.
So for me, I got to a point where I was in the end of high school, beginning of college, where I was like, you know what? I'm gonna start calling myself and going by Amechi because I haven't been as close as I would like to be with Nigeria, which is where I'm from, and I think it's a way that I can gain back some of that power, some of that just cultural identity back, for myself. And I was like, let me just start doing this in professional settings and everything like that. I always put my name as Amechi in resumes, all that. And another thing about it is because it's so unique, I think a lot of people with names that are from different cultures, their whole life is tough because they gotta, be in the classrooms and people saying their name wrong. Mm. They make it laughed at.
They pronounce it? Was it like Amechi?
They say Amechi. That's what white people Amechi. Always say Amechi. Like pizza. I Amechi. Amechi. Like the pizza. The Italian. That's Italian. Amechi. I'm Amechi. And so people always got it wrong and things like that. But it was unique and it stood out. You know what I'm saying? It stood out. So people
a long time ago, always correct people say your name so they get that respect in there.
But the thing is with that, I've always had the mindset that when people don't know my name or when they say it wrong, they will. That motivates me. It's like when somebody says Amechi, a lot of times I don't correct them because I'm like, you'll know. I don't know when it's going to be, but you'll know.
Especially like doing that in business or when I first meet somebody, whether it's an interview. If it's an interview or somebody, I'm definitely doing that. If it's like business, I'm correcting the hell out you because I know you're going to never forget that correction. Because, what's your name? Jabrial?
All types of stuff.
Look, relax yourself. First of all, I want you to breathe. Now I want you to pronounce my name. Jabril. I throw in the extra. It's really just Jabril, but I'll be like, make sure you say Jabril. Because if I throw the extra, they're going to throw that extra emphasis to try to get it, and they're going to land at Jabril.
Funny excerpt before you go on. I want you to tell people about what your name is, and I'm going to do the same thing. But funny excerpt before we do. Whenever I'm talking
19 keys.
Whenever I'm talking to Siri, when I need Siri to call you, I say, call Jabrail. That's the only way they get it down.
That's not funny.
It's not funny?
No, that ain't cool.
Why is it not funny?
That's disrespectful.
But like, that's Siri. It's not me. The phone is the briefcase.
You need to update your iOS.
It's the briefcase.
You need to update the iOS.
But I'm gonna let you speak about what your name is. But just to close out, so Amechi means only God knows tomorrow. And I think Brendan, which is my first name, means old fiery road in Old English or some bullshit like that. And so Mechie is just so much more. So random.
Like the old fiery road. You got to go through the fiery road to get to the
to get to God knows tomorrow.
You got to be to get through a fiery road.
But that's what I do my best to live by. Only God knows tomorrow. Like, you know, and I think that to me, it stands for a lot of things. It means, now I don't want to get into the preaching mode, but it's like, it'll lose confidence and humbleness at the same time. It's like, if you don't have anything, if you're dead broke, and at this moment right now, you don't have anything, but only God knows tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen. You might have that app that you're making at your house, and it might blow up. But even if you have all the money in the world, you have the cars and the clothes, and you got all this ice, and you're doing your thing, and you're successful right now, but only God knows tomorrow. So it's like, to me, it's just keeping that in mind for any way you want to look at it. But it's like, you don't have the control of everything. As well as you're doing or as bad as you're doing, you don't know what's going to, when things are going to flip. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I go by Biamechi, and why that name means so much to me. So why don't you tell the people about your name, man?
Man, I could follow that up. That was... Man. Yes, sir. Be a Mechie, man. Definitely not gonna
pronounce
your name.
Gotta let him know.
So, my given name, Jibril Fuad Muhammad. My parents gave all of my brothers and sisters names with meanings. You know, your name is worth its weight in gold. You develop into the characteristics of your name. It's very important, your name. That kind of goes back into, like, you know, Malcolm X speaking about slave names, getting rid of the slave name.
Muhammad Ali.
So it was very important in our household and our upbringing that we all had original names, names that we can develop into. So the name Jibril is the same as the English equivalent Gabriel, which speaks upon the angel Jibril within the Quran and the Bible. And so Jibril was always the one who brought the message to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to give him that revelation of higher thought and higher consciousness and obtainment. And so, you know, Fuad, I believe, means bearer of good news, which is the middle name. And the last name, Muhammad, one worthy of praise. And so, having names that great to be able to live up to, you are able to find your place in history. You know what I'm saying? When you don't have a name that doesn't mean anything, you have to attach some sort of meaning to it. But this name already has a history of energy towards it. You know what I mean? And so you have to think about the root of your name, where it comes from, and that energy source. Because as long as a person continues the name, it has the energy. You know what I mean? And the person is carrying that energy with them like a title. There's a reason, if you look at like syllables of like prophets and gods, they usually one syllable, it flows. There's an ease in that flows, that all, Allah, Moses, Jesus, you know what I mean? All of these things flow. And so without really going deep into it, your name has a certain vibrational characteristic to it, you know what I mean? And also an attachment to history, like an ancestral line of energy. You know what I mean? So I've always wanted to develop into my name. And then once you start to develop into your greatness and you have this name, you actually start to linking yourself to how you've been manifesting the properties of that name. So when I think about, there's some great Jibrils within history. There's a brother Jibril who is associated with being a helper of Minister Farrakhan, who, the same way that there's an angel Jibril who was the angel that gave Prophet Muhammad the messages to reveal the Holy Quran to him. And so I'm thinking of me living up to that name. I also have to deliver a message to the people in order to unlock their mind, to reveal that higher thought, that higher thinking, you know what I mean, to where they can unlock that crown chakra. And then that's where 19 keys come in.
I want you to speak on that too, because I want to tell people what positive energy and good vibes really means. And I want you to tell people what 19 keys, you've mentioned, I don't know if we mentioned on the podcast, but
19 keys, where I first came into the understanding, or I came into the thought of 19 keys, was from the reading of Masrafal Ali Muhammad saying that there were 17 million black people and 2 million Indians. And this was around a time in the 30s. And that's, you know, when black people, before we had this state of consciousness that we at right now. And he said that those are 19 million rusty locks. And those 19 million rusty locks need well-oiled keys in order to unlock those minds, in order to unlock their higher thought, their higher reason, their higher faculties. You know what I mean? Their higher consciousness. So, key is code for chi or energy. So, once you study unlocking the mind, the prana energy or the bandha or the locks, there's different ways that a person can go about unlocking in their higher consciousness. That's what a Buddha does. A Buddha lives his entire life storing up that energy to where that energy is released and it goes up here. So the 19 keys is about giving that electric energy that can unlock the mind, and doing that through different thoughts and changing a person's pattern of thought to unlock their minds. And then, you know, the word Shabazz, one of the meanings, earlier meanings for me from tracing the roots, was a key. And also that translated, I think, into I want to say it correctly, some Hispanic origins, and to Chavez. And so it was also linking the black and brown people together. Now Shabazz was, I'm going to wrap this up. The Shabazz was, the tribe of Shabazz, we was taught, was the black people that, you know, we came from Africa, that was brought over here to America. So black people in America are that tribe of Shabazz. And so that 19 key is unlocking those minds and linking us all together to where we get to that state of higher thought and enlightenment.
I just don't feel like the people, I don't know if they really heard what you just said. You know, like, I just feel like, do y'all understand that, to me, the most beautiful thing, and beautiful is one of my favorite words, I don't really know another word that to describe that. The beautiful thing about that is there are 19 keys to unlocking the minds of those where all that needs to be unlocked is already there. It's not there. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not like, I think sometimes some people may hear that and look at you as, and I think a lot of times, not from that, but from a whole bunch of things you do, people could look at you as arrogant. I think you were saying before you did the podcast that when you talk to people or get in an argument, it's only two ways things could go. They're either going to be blown away by the enlightenment they receive, or they're going to think you're just an asshole and want to leave it at that. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but in so many words. But it's just, it's like the way we hear things and the way we receive things, right, and the way they're communicated. And I want to emphasize that, because I think that's a beautiful thing, that everything is here. And you were even talking about this before the podcast, is how you arrange it,
right,
in your pattern head, of thoughts. Your pattern of thoughts that makes it make sense for you,
right,
and unlock it's all, it's just how it's real, how it's arranged. Like, all the information is there, right?
Think about this. Somebody told you, they gave you the knowledge. They say, this is what a family is. And then you'll be like, okay, who came first? They'd be like, okay, the child came first, then the mother, and then the dad. So they gave you this knowledge. And then a person don't really, they got the knowledge, but it doesn't really unlock it until they be like, wait a minute, the man, the woman, then the child. And then the person like, oh, I get it. You had the knowledge. It was the arrangement and the pattern of that knowledge that was incorrect. So I use the thought pattern of physics. And physics is finding ways to measure consciousness based on the pattern that consciousness is arranged. So to give you a thought example is, think about wet water. Think about,
when is water not wet? I'm not.
So water, ice, steam, they all have the same properties, right? Protons or whatever. But when you change those proton patterns, that's when they change the state, right? So when I think about a person's pattern of thought, when you change that pattern and the thought and that arrangement of knowledge, that's when it changes to a different state of consciousness. So within our bodies, you know what I mean, to where the state of whether we dead or alive, when scientists look at the physical properties of our body and the atoms, they will say that this body actually has the same exact thing, that this living body has the same exact thing as this dead body. But the difference is that is the way that they arranged. You know what I mean? So let's say if we made up of everything in the universe, let's say if we made up of the same exact thing as a pile of fruit, right? So let's say we got the same exact atoms. How come that pile of fruit can't talk to me and I can't? It's because of the arrangement. We have, people are the greatest arrangement of atoms on the planet Earth. Our patterns of who we are is the greatest arrangement, and we have to learn how to unlock our thinking patterns. You know what I mean? Unlock our patterns of thought, which rearrange our state of consciousness to higher and higher levels. So when you change your pattern of thought, you see things differently. Your awareness change, your state of consciousness change. And we all have a particular programming that we run off of based on our language, based on our faith, based on our beliefs. And your faith and your beliefs is what you use to judge others. And when you judge others, you are using energy to judging.
Energy.
And so
positive energy and good vibes.
Instead of using that energy to judge, imagine if you were in synchronicity with your environment. And instead of doing that, you use that energy only to find opportunity in your environment to continuously be in synchronicity. So when things like this paradigm shift is happening, you're not distracted by any of your outputting that energy into resources or judgments or bias or distractions or things that don't matter, but you're only using it to find opportunity so you can win in the present.
That's
so when you
do.
Unlock that thought pattern, that's how you win in the new paradigm shift of things that's happening.
That brings up a point for me I want to hit on before I do.
I hope that makes sense, because I be having all these thoughts.
A lot.
In my
it's
mind.
A lot. It's a lot. But
it's a lot of information.
Some
that's
of it
why
had
I'm writing
to,
a book, because it gives you a concise
right.
form.
But
of
some
information.
Of it has to stick. That's the whole goal. You say yeah. a lot. Some is going to stick. Some yeah. is not. But I want to piggyback on that. But before I do, the definition of positive energy and good vibes. It comes from a Bible verse that has followed me, I would say. I was just telling one of my friends about this. It's followed me my whole life. There's been times where I've just been, you know, asking God for a sign. I open up the Bible, it gets to that. I'll go on my, you know, app, pop it up randomly, it gets to that. It's just followed me in different aspects of my life. And again, I've spoke about on this podcast omens and how I believe that that's like the way God speaks with you. And I think in a way that verse is an omen for me. But what this particular verse, Galatians 5:22-23, is about for me, it's called the fruits of the Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit to me is about how one lives their life as opposed to what one does.
Mm.
Which is very different. I think when you focus on what you do, which is an important question for, I think, almost the ego, an important question for like who we are as people, but it's not something that's of the spirit in terms of how you are. You know what I'm saying? In that process to figuring out what you do. A lot of people are depressed, man. I've experienced that. A lot of people turn negative. A lot of people go through challenges when they're figuring out what job they're going to do, what they're going to do in life, how they're going to make their mark, how they're going to figure out their purpose, all those things. But to me, the fruits of the Spirit, which is 9 characteristics, 9 attributes of how one should live, override anything that you actually do. So that's living, you know, faithfulness, peacefulness, goodness, gentleness, kindness, love, joy, discipline, and patience. Those are the 9, you know, attributes that one would have, that there's no laws against those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so to me, I sum that up in positive energy and good vibes. That's what that means to me. It's focusing on how you are as opposed to what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? How you're reacting to things, how you're interacting with people, all those sort of things.
Mm.
You know, but one of the things that I wanted to piggyback on and what you ended off with your monologue is something that I learned in a conference, my first job, which was this equation
of how to, I would love to hear your outtake on this. Mm. An equation for how one should live their life. And a lot of times, this is a perfect example. You go to these conferences with these corporations, these big conferences at these trainings where they bring in these speakers. Sometimes they'll bring in magicians. They'll bring in whatever they can to like get the energy going and right. kind of make things flow. People, I'm talking about 99% of the people who are receiving this information at these conferences and things like that, in one ear out the other. They do not care. They think it's trivial. They think it's like what is this guy talking about? I was never that way. And one guy really resonated with me when he said that life comes down to a simple equation. You ready?
Mm. All right. It's, there is react, your events plus your reactions equals your outcomes. And he said that there's, most people think that they can control their outcomes by either their events or reactions. But the only thing that you can control, the only variable thing in that equation is your reactions. You don't control the events in your life. You don't control the outcomes in your life. You may think that because if you study this hard, you're going to get an A. Not necessarily, because your teacher could just, you know, do some or even make a mistake and end up giving, whatever the case is. But that doesn't just necessarily mean because you worked hard, you're going to get an A. People think that they can force their outcomes based on how hard they work or what they do or what position they put them. No. The only thing you can control is how you react to any given event in your life, period. And it's like, that's why I always say, react positively. Like, that's one thing you can always do. React positively. You know what I'm saying? Do something that's going to put you in a constructive situation to better yourself, better your situation, or better the outcome as best as you can. Put yourself in the position to better your outcome as best as you can by percentages or by, you know, manifestations, but you don't actually control what that outcome is.
So, in the part about controlling your reaction, I absolutely believe that. I actually talked about this earlier today on my live about being able to control your reaction to the things that happen to you. And by your reaction to your environment is how you control your destiny. You know what I'm saying? And then I think I had put this quote out. Self-control is your problem. It's not money. It's not your lack of support. It's your thinking. It's your reaction to what happens that affects you the most. Mm. Now, this actually comes from...
Somebody needed to hear that.
This comes from me writing to myself. At a time while I was frustrated, I had to go into my understanding of myself.
If you don't mind me asking, if you remember what brought that up.
This was November. No, this was not actually at this time. I think it was just an overall frustration at a lack of support. And I had to go in the inner recesses of my mind, and I had to get that frustration out of me, so I wrote it down, you know. So I got that frustrating thought off of me by writing it down. And anytime I say, when people are stuck and they feel themselves frustrated, when your mind can't do two things at once, you know what I mean? So if you're frustrated and you're stuck, I always like to engage in a hobby. Because if I'm painting right now, then that means that my mind is not thinking about that problem. My subconscious mind might actually be figuring out a solution for me. So instead of focusing on the things that I cannot control, I would do something else that is within my control. Since I know my mind can't focus on two things, I give my mind something else to focus on. You know what I mean? And so that's one of my brain hacks towards getting past frustrating thought processes. So the fourth thing was, my mind is challenged to find a way out. Puzzle thoughts of what to do. When it seemed just last week you had a strategy to take over the world. Funny how life has so many ups and downs and you just have to cope with it. Everyone goes through changes and some realize they are changes. By that I mean your thinking. The biggest thing that changes through these shifts or up and downs are emotions, which are your thoughts. Self-control is your problem. It's not money. It's not the lack of support. It's your thinking. It's your reaction to what happens that affects you the most. As I'm writing, my mind is lifting, my thoughts are freeing, and I'm taking control all over again. I realize that people are supporting me, and that my brand is growing, and that I'm getting smarter and much happier with life. But I'm also hungry. I want to eat. I want big dinners, and I want them when I desire them. also want the power to fast to resist hunger. So I have to decide which is power, hunger or the ignorance of hunger, the control of desire. Consciously, we exist and live in one reality, the one ruled by perception. What creates perception? Everything is inspired by a source. Maybe a person, a friend, family, your environment. The key is to think above the current will of your wants. The want is your heaven. Heaven is comfort and fulfillment, the ultimate enlightenment and success. And so I was able to process my reaction to my environment, to my frustration. And I really believe in transferring that frustration into like what I just did here. Or I did it once with a painting. I literally painted my frustration out onto a canvas once. And because I did that, I transferred that energy from me to that painting. Because you got to think, how do you create a painting? With motion. What is motion? Motion is energy. So I put energy into motion. What is emotion? Energy in motion. So I put that energy onto that painting, and every time I get frustrated now, I look at it and it sort of looks like an eye. So it represents my frustration. So I don't get frustrated because I know that I put it there already. It's not longer inner, it's external. So I create these little mental things that I do to keep me afloat, to keep me going. The thing about positive people is, it's not that they don't go through negativity.
Preach.
It's that they learn how to react to negativity differently.
Man.
It's that it becomes a muscle,
man.
Right? So every time you work out a muscle, you do what? You're making it stronger. So the more negativity that I go through, my positive muscles become stronger and stronger. And let's say, therefore, when small negative things happen, I got these big-ass positive muscles, so that's nothing for me. You know what I mean? So the thing about positive people is they actually go through the most negativity. It's just that they develop the more positive muscles, so they have more positive strength. And so a lot of people look at positive people like, damn, how you so positive? They think that they don't go through shit. That's the total opposite. So you have to work out your positive muscles so that you can deal with negativity and flex on it.
Man, that is real. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that because if you know me, I beat myself up mentally a lot of times. I mean, you've seen the behind the scenes. You know the work I put in, the all-nighters. You don't do those things. Even like you always mentioned, being an entrepreneur, that is not a glamorous thing like people think it is. You know, like there's a lot. You're not going to switch over to becoming an entrepreneur and then all of a sudden reach this level of success and have this. It's the complete opposite. You're working twice as hard. It's just... It's so frustrating. You got to limit your time, make sacrifices, all these things. But again, you always control how you react. And I was always taught that success is a habit. You know what I'm saying? And yes, I do it every day. That's what I like to say.
Oh, but the other part of that is you said that you can't control what happens to you.
Right,
I don't believe that, though. I don't believe in any limitations set upon principles. I believe you can control how you react. But I also believe that we have the power to control our environment and the things that interact with us as well.
I think to me it goes to the way I interpret it, and I don't think you're wrong for saying that, but I think the way I interpret it is back to like only God knows tomorrow in terms of like, let me control what I can. Let me control the things that I have in my grasp.
But I believe we are God, so I believe even within that statement, you're giving me that control.
Well, I feel like... I agree with that as well, but to me, it's like you got to tap into something that's unworldly. You can't be thinking of the flesh if you're going to accomplish something that only God knows. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to think at a higher level. You have to operate and move at a higher level in order to accomplish those things. Like, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, although I know that I am God, although I know that I am a king, although I know that all these things are in me, we are still in the world. And so there's a lot of challenges and a lot of obstacles that come with being here. But at the same time, you can trigger your mind to close your eyes, envision heaven. To me, I call that color, and transfer to a world of color and be living in it. but there is an on and off switch, so to speak. There is a back and forth. It's not something, at least for me, that I just consistently live in. So I think in that sense, that's what I mean by, that's how I interpret, at least, like, not being able to control the outcomes. If you are going to control the outcomes, you have to react at a level that's out of this world. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be doing things of the flesh to control that sort of outcome. But that's just how I interpret it. What else we got?
Yeah, I'm going to let that go for now. Then I can go. Let's see what these
hip hop. You was talking about hip hop. What do you want to talk about? Hip hop.
What's current?
What you want to talk about? Hip hop. You trying to freestyle for the people?
We gonna catch me on a whole another show. I did put a verse down on my brother's
song. What's the verse?
I don't have a verse in my mind right now.
You got it written down?
I don't have it written down. It was a freestyle.
You gonna spit a freestyle?
I'm not gonna spit a freestyle, but one of these days I will spit.
I thought you didn't have fear.
No, it's not fear.
Okay, so let me tell you this. I freestyle with Jabril plenty of times over the past year.
This is true.
He is one of the best freestylers that I know.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, I remember the time we was starting off a series called Got Bars. Shout out to Jay New. And coming soon. And we were doing the episode out of your old shop at Moose Hill in Oakland that we've talked about before. And man, we had a whole crowd going.
Yeah, that was fun.
Freestyling, just had the first Fridays.
Yeah.
Good times, man. And that's what I love about hip-hop. Transitioning from that into hip-hop, even freestyling, man. Like, I used to listen to Nas and just those New York artists like that.
Who are your favorite artists?
It's tough. I've learned from doing a lot of interviews over the years that I don't really like the word favorite in questions. I think that's really limiting.
What's your most listened to artist at the moment?
My top artist of all time is Black Thought from the Roots. This is in no particular order. Black Thought, and for various different reasons. Black Thought from the Roots, Elzai from Slum Village, Kendrick Lamar, Tupac, Jay-Z, Nas, Boyd Banks, Kanye West. Who am I forgetting, man? Those are some of my favorites. Some of my favorite artists of all time.
I think freestyling.
Jay Dilla is my favorite artist of all time, but he's not in terms of rapping.
Like Mr. Farrakhan said, that rappers are the gods.
Young
Gully too.
Go ahead.
You know what I mean? Rappers are, they are the leaders. You know what I mean? And they have so much power and influence. And the way I dissect hip hop is those of lower consciousness and is those of higher consciousness. Those who have a lower consciousness can only speak and express lower conscious thoughts. Those who have a higher consciousness, higher faculties, will speak higher conscious thoughts. And so in the book, Behold the Pale Horse, it speaks on, and I forget who it was written by, but those who know, know. And so the guy who wrote it, killed after he wrote the book, and a lot of the things that he spoke about came into fruition later on. But one thing he spoke about was an agenda to keep the entertainment at the sixth grade level, right? And so I look at hip hop and I look at a lot of things now that's at a sixth grade level of entertainment, and a lot of the rappers don't even know that they fit within that agenda box is because their consciousness is at a sixth grade level as well. So the education was also supposed to keep people dumb. So when you look at current state of hip hop, you know, ignorance, I equate ignorance to innocence, and I create consciousness to guilt. So when you don't know, you sort of innocent in that space. But once you become conscious and aware, then you become guilty. So I can't really kill the rappers for those who are ignorant in their actions and behavior, because they are much of victims, you know what I mean, as the listener is too. And so, but the thing about it is, regardless, I think that there's enough information to make a rapper conscious of what they put out to the people, because those records become spells in people's mind. They record over and over. Language is a code. You know what I mean? And based on the language that you use speaks to your programming as a person. And so it's very interesting, man, because I think that rappers have a certain responsibility. At the same time, you can't go beyond the people, right? So if you go beyond the people, then you lose. So what ends up happening a lot of times is rappers come in with that lower level of consciousness, right? They make that music, they get their fan base. But then they grow and they get a higher level of consciousness. But if they speak to that higher level of consciousness, now they over their fan base heads. And now their fan base, what the hell he talking about? I came to him for this particular thing. So now they have to tap back into that lower frequency of thought and make that music so they can continue to pay their bills. So they can continue to feed their family and things of that nature. So they get caught in this cycle. You know what I mean? So that's the unfortunate dilemma that rappers live within. You know what I mean? And until the rappers, because rapping is a very spiritual conquest. It's a very spiritual thing. It's an expression of one's spirit, one's self. You know what I mean? And when a person can like freestyle, it speaks to the higher faculties that a person is using. Yes. You know what I mean? Like a lot of them boys is geniuses, pure geniuses. Yes. I don't agree with their genius. I don't like a lot of them, but I can recognize the genius. You know what I mean? And so I'm not going to kill them. I love hip hop. I ain't been really listening to nothing lately just because I've been trying to focus on just higher thoughts. And, you know, rappers ain't really curating no higher thoughts for me. You know what I mean? Plus, it's a lot of weird feminized shit.
In a box to say just rappers. Like, and, you know, that's like putting whole
hip hop artists, you know?
I don't really.
What term would you use? What terminology?
No, but I'm saying, you're saying I'm not rocking with rappers right now because they're not speaking to me.
I'm thinking of in a collective.
Well, I'm saying there are rappers out there.
I know, but I look at the individual culture as it doesn't matter. I look at the collective culture.
Oh, well, I don't look at it that way because I think that a lot of the ways that it's been mainstream has been intentional. I'm surprised if you think that way because a lot of the way.
Well,
that,
because the power of it is the collective. Like the major influence of it is that collective.
We are hip hop. Hip hop goes beyond music. Right, but that's a whole hip hop. Like that's the thing. People gotta flip it because a lot of times people are trying to make songs that are like mainstream and sound more. I don't know, like other genres, but hip hop is the genre that I feel like sets the trends. So
yeah, no, I get all of that.
So, I mean, but anyways, all I wanted to say
I didn't know what you was about to say. I thought you was about to say, I thought you were about to drop some heat on me. I'm like, okay.
What you mean? You started speaking about freestyling, man. That's why I miss, like, hearing, like,
Mason Cameron.
What about them?
What you think about they beef?
I don't know about they beef.
Right. What? We go past it. They fuck that. Oh, well, they went at each other. There's some raps. Mace, the preacher dude, you know, you everybody know Mace from Bad Boys back in the day. Mace ain't popping no more, but he came back. Cameron, I guess, was in the spotlight, popped doing tours, Dipset, shit like that. He came with a diss, was talking about Cameron. Cameron came back with a diss. He was saying he was fucking his sister.
Mace,
he was snitching.
Mace said that?
Mace said that about Cam. He went real hard on him. It's a pretty good.
He's not a preacher no more?
I think he took like a moment of retirement. I don't know. I can't really tell you. That's a weird thing. I mean, the whole rapper, preacher, I don't know. That's weird to me. And then Cameron came with his diss track back at him. And he had a video of, somebody did a video of how Mace was, I guess, exploiting the people. Using that kind of like that preaching style, that yoo-hoo preaching style. You know what I mean? Cam came back and said Mace was doing gay shit with P. Diddy, and it was just a whole little thing. But I was just going through current topics on my phone.
I mean,
I think a big thing.
We transcend topics. I'm not really big into like all the current stuff and just getting an opinion on something to get Psy an opinion
gotta
on
get
something.
Album.
I listen to it just to get an opinion
what
on
you
something.
What you think? Because I didn't listen to it. I just heard him freestyle.
I'll say this. I heard the album. I didn't listen to it. I heard every single song, but I did not listen to it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like I was at work kind of going through the motions a little bit and not really listening to the whole exact thing. But there were some very monumental songs. He used a lot of samples of songs that I already know. I can't put my finger on what they were. But Sahai has been... I love Sahai the Prince, man. His project, was it History? I think it was called History or something like that. history lesson. That was one of the best mixtapes I've ever heard. And Sci-Hi needs to get some love, and I'm glad that he got on the Breakfast Club and did his thing. He writes for Kanye, writes for a lot of people. And but I feel like, again, he's one of those artists. Going back to what I was saying originally, like, when I think of like hip hop, that's like, and freestyling, like, just how he brought this whole thing.
I always
loved freestyling, because again, it's one of those things where it's like, show what you got. Like, and it's like, even if you aren't the best ever, like, the fact that it's authentic is just fun and dope. Right. And I think with hip hop, like, that's when I look at hip hop, like, I think of like Nas in New York sitting on some stoop, you know, in New York and rapping and freestyling. Or like, that's the whole New York feel, the Sky Zoo artists I listen to, like, the people who you know can, you know, can go, you know what I'm
speaking
saying?
Speaking of Nas, he never won a Grammy before. And this year, this is the first time there's not been a white guy that's up for a Grammy. And there's all these different hip-hop artists, including Cardi B and stuff like that. And I was having this conversation with the homie Steve, saying that, you know, the song was cool. I don't think she deserves a Grammy. As a matter of fact, I also want to say this, because I know that the conscious community will be out there. Fuck the Grammys. I just want to say that, because I think we should create our own validation system. How are we the one create the greatest music in the world, but we are being measured by these corny guys? So I think that, you know, really the Grammys don't matter. But everybody since they exist, that. I wanted to speak on it. I just wanted to put that disclaimer out there. I understand all the, you know, the conscious measurement and pattern of thought towards it, because I know people are like, why are we talking about this? Of course we should make our own. Russell Simmons tried to make his own thing, the Def Jam Awards. But Russell Simmons is caught in this sexual assault allegation culture right now, so I'm not sure if that's going to be still going. You want to say anything about the sexual assault allegation culture?
Well, I think to me, there's one aspect of it that these are things that have been going on, and now they're coming to light. Mm. And the question is, why? What has happened to bring all these things to light now?
That's kind of like I'm trying to figure out.
Part of it has to be, it's almost like the anti-peer pressure. It's like when one, then two, then three, then four, then five people come out and do something for the first time, or do something that maybe was on your mind but you didn't have the courage to do. Right. It. This is with anything in life, right? But you see that other people are being courageous, and you're also seeing the response that they're now getting of support. Not all positive. Some people have maybe put them down. There's been comments kind of like, I've seen things here and there. I'm not all into the current events and stuff and know who's accused of what, like you are probably, but I've seen some backlash from, like, for example, from other women who have said things to some women who have come out and saying, like, yeah, you know, yeah, like you see that. But overall, you see the support and things like that, and so people are more comfortable when it becomes this wave, this anti-peer pressure movement. Whereas it also speaks on, in the past however many years when all this is going on, and it still is going on today, but people were less likely to come out about these things and maybe to get that support about these things. And I think it also goes into the age we live in terms of the way we use media, the way things can get trending, the way things can get support.
So when you say come out, you're saying sexual assault allegations are like the new coming out is gay?
No.
Okay, you said come out. I was trying to see.
Yeah, I said come out. That's like when people come out and speak about this. I don't have nothing to do with, unless some of the sexual allegations are from gay.
Kevin Spacey, he was a guy alleged that he, you know, assaulted.
He played Superman?
No, Kevin Spacey. The dude in House of Cards and American Beauty.
Oh, him?
Yeah, he got caught up in that whole thing too. You know, my whole thing is, I try to figure out, what's the bigger picture behind it? What is this shift that makes it happen? Everything has a shift. Everything starts from an idea. Everything is interconnected. I think
nothing's random.
Nothing is random. And I think that when you think about this paradigm shift that's happening, right? So they got these things called quantum machine, quantum mechanics, quantum computers and stuff like that, right? And so the quantum computers are what make these leaps. You know what I mean? When they say a quantum leap. So these processing machines can process much faster than the computers that we've had before. So problems that would take years to solve should now take just months to solve. And, you know, computers are a pattern based off our minds. And I think about this shift in paradigm because everything is changing. And when you have one change, you find this interconnectedness in all of the different changes that happen. So when you bring up one issue, when it probably would have took these women weeks or months to come out with, or years, now everything is happening within a quantum leap. Everything is coming out much faster. The way we produce information, the way we dissect it, the way we become more aware of something, the way we evolve, everything is much faster. And so I ask myself, is the things that's happening now, the things that unfold, are they part of the paradigm shift? Is everything is going to start having this quantum leap when you put one idea out there? Is it going to spread much, much faster now? And if that's so, then you can become very old and antiquated in your ideas very fast if you don't stay and recognize all of the different pattern shifts that's happening. So I'm looking at it from a different standpoint, trying to understand it, because I think that years down the line, we're going to be able to look back at it and be like, oh, that was a part of this. That's why this happened. So I'm always trying to figure out what the hell is happening. Not even just, I don't really care about the thing that's, I don't care about those rich guys and those allegations. I'm just going to keep it 100. That doesn't affect my life. I don't distract myself with things that don't affect my life. I think there's a lot of things going on
that don't affect my life.
In that sense, because I think that that Hollywood culture, it's very weird, and I think that they all keep a lot of secrets until it's comfortable for them to expose it, till that culture is caught up and now ready to expose it. But I think that they're all guilty of something, and that they're all have sacrificed something to get to where they are. You know what I mean?
Interesting you say that.
I do.
All of them.
All of them.
Everyone.
It's just a part of the Hollywood culture.
Would you ever be in the Hollywood culture?
Not if I had to sacrifice anything.
But if you have, but you just said anybody in that Hollywood culture has to sacrifice something.
Well, the thing is, I believe when I come into an environment, I change it. So if Jabril was within, I wouldn't be in the Hollywood culture, for one. You know what I mean?
That's what I
mean? I think assimilation is cowardice. If a person has to assimilate, that's being a coward. Why can't you be yourself? So anytime I come into an environment, I come with the desire to change it, the effect of change. Just knowing that if I'm in Hollywood, then you know that a change must have happened, a paradigm shift must have happened. Like, oh snap, they didn't let me in, I came in, something must have changed in Hollywood. Hollywood will never be the same. It's like when a black person move on a white block, it ain't gonna be the same, not if I move there. So anyway, I think we're living in a time to where we get to recognize these quantum leaps, these paradigm shifts, which means that we have to continuously be able to increase ourselves in synchronicity of the present day and time, which means that we have to continuously reprogram ourselves to think on a new system of thought, to think on a higher pattern of thought. You know what I mean? And I think that that's very powerful, but I haven't figured out why that whole thing is happening yet. That sort of evades, just because I think it's so spontaneous and random to different people. The way you look at it is random, right? Because you got a Matt Lauer, you got a Russell Simmons, you had a Bill Cosby. It started off with a black guy. And then I think that black guy sort of made it easier to be like, okay, we got the black guy out the way. It was the first sacrifice, Bill Cosby. Now we're about to go at all these white guys. Then you had Harvey Weinstein, and then you had all the other people. But you got to imagine, if they really open up that list, if everybody really start telling their stories, Hollywood crumbles overnight. Crumbles. So I look at, why are these particular men the only ones? Because I know that if everybody tells their story, Hollywood is done for. And so there's a lot of people that are not telling their story, but they might be speaking up towards somebody else telling their story. I don't like that. I think that's fake. That's not real. You know what I mean? So I think that everybody already, like every back in the, maybe it's like 2008, 9, 10, 11, whatever, everybody was talking about the Illuminati. It was the biggest thing on the internet, everywhere, everybody's researching, and everybody was talking about how Hollywood had these sex cults and all of this shit. And now that it's being exposed, people are not even talking about it in that way no more. People are just sitting back and letting it unfold. But once you see a house that is built on an unrighteous foundation, and you have people attempting to crumble that house, why not assist them in breaking down that foundation that is no good? But I don't even think the people are assisting anymore in that sense. So it's interesting to be able to just look at what's happening in Hollywood and look at how people are reacting to it, because it speaks to our present day consciousness, and it speaks to how we take information and how we react to information and the reality that we're living in. So anytime you see something happening and you see how the people react to it, it speaks towards our present day, how we take in information. And you can use that however you want to, whether it's in business, whatever it is, it speaks to the new paradigm shift in human, you know, reaction, observation, and shit of reality.
Contracts. I want to talk about contracts.
What about contracts?
Talk about, let me get this call. Contracts. I mean, it was brought up from, I was talking to a friend who I do a lot of business with, and I was basically talking about an idea I had for a business merger. I know this is really broad, but I don't want to really name names and things like that. And I think because I don't have a contract with this friend, right? Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes I kind of assume that everything's good. If I come up with a proposal, it'll work out, we'll figure it out, you know. But I think this situation where he kind of backed away and kind of, you know, maybe thought about this not being the smartest idea, brought to my attention the importance of contracts and the importance of having clear communication, clear understanding, and a clear basis to move forward on. I think that's very important. And I just wanted to quickly get your thoughts on contracts. And this is the importance of it. I mean, even you look at like marriage, it's a contract, you know, it's like you say your vows to death, do all those sort of things. And I think people get so upset on divorce because you're breaking a contract. But I think you're not necessarily breaking the contract. You're basically saying we both are going to agree to not continue this contract and go about our separate ways,
right?
Which is okay, I feel like, as long as you honored that contract the best you could while you were in that contract, right? And so, and there's ways to represent that, right? Like a ring that shows your contract of marriage with another person, right? But I just was thinking about contracts after this conversation, after this experience and this epiphany that I had with one of my friends who I do business with, and I was thinking, like, wouldn't it be, I don't even want to say great, but wouldn't it be at the very least interesting if we were more conscientious about the contracts we made and put things out there? Everything is a contract, whether you're in it, whether you have it signed on paper or it's not. It's still a contract. The way you're operating life is a contract.
A verbal agreement
is a contract legally. You understand what I'm saying? So for me, I'm thinking about things in this epiphany where I had this moment last week, like, even for, like, let's take like a girlfriend and a boyfriend, right? They cannot be married at that time, but isn't it conceivable that they can have a contract of what their relationship will look like until they get to that point? Or maybe they were not going to get to that point at all.
It's a lease.
Put that on where it's clear communication and everybody knows. Because I feel like if you made something like that.
So you think that we should make like 3 to 6 month contracts?
I'm not even suggesting
like
that
mini
we
marriages.
I'm not even suggesting that we should. I'm just saying that wouldn't it be, I feel like a lot of the things that I think about, and this is why I love this podcast, because nothing is random. A lot of things that I think about, I think people easy to dismiss. But it's just a point that I wanted to bring up, get your opinion. And I'm not just talking about relationships. I'm talking about there's so many aspects in life. If we,
you know me,
have
I
contracts.
Said, on the last one I said, boyfriends, girlfriends don't matter.
We're still searching for a young woman
oh, that's
who
where she
has great characteristics.
That's where you was going with this.
You can call 1-888.
Stop it.
That's it, 488.
1-888, stop it.
Stop it. NR podcast.
No, you just gotta slide the DMs. Stop it.
Slide the DMs. Nah, yeah, he said you could just slide in the DMs.
I'm definitely want to have a contract agreement with a woman, you know, to where, because, you know.
What would that contract look like for you?
We had to build together.
So, okay.
We have to build on a vision together, you know. You got my vision, you got her vision, and we have to conjoin that vision together.
And you have to support the visions independently,
yes,
as well, right?
Yes.
Isn't that a big part of it too? It's about having a joint vision, but also supporting the individual visions. Because mm-hmm. I've learned with relationships, it's important to not put yourself in a cave and have everything be about the relationship. You have to grow as individuals as well as together. Because if one of those is off, then you're not going to be growing.
But you don't think that growing within a relationship allows you all to grow individually? Because the uniqueness of what you bring to the relationship is what allows for it to have that growth. So I believe that the individuals should work around the relationship. The relationship shouldn't work around the individuals. You know what I mean? And so you all place yourselves, let's say this, the relationship is a circle. That is what you all are trying to grow. This relationship, the idea of this relationship, y'all are trying to build. And within that relationship is your different values. Yeah, I mean, it is your vision is in there. And I think that if people are able to communicate clearly with each other and affirm each other's beliefs, ideas, who's going to be the breadwinner, who's going to do this, I think you have to take an accountability, the new structure, ideas that's set up. When you come to that clear, concise agreement, you know what I mean, with each other, you are binding the idea of a contract that you all are going to withhold and make successful. You know what I mean? And so you all are forming an entity. You know what I mean? Like a business. Yeah, your relationship becomes an entity itself. I have to make sure that I'm with the right person. Right? Because I think who I told this before. I said, I'm not sure if Obama could have became president without Michelle. So he could have picked any other woman on planet Earth, and she could have picked any other man. But if they didn't pick each other, then I'm not sure they would have rolled to that position that they had. A person, I heard the joke about Michelle saying that you wouldn't have been president without me, all of that. But I think that when you choose the right person, you choose the right destiny. You choose the possibility of that person being able to help you manifest the greatness within self. And so a man cannot fully become a god without a woman. If you look at the Egyptians, they have it written within the hieroglyphics on how to make a god. And it, man, woman, boom. And so what woman does, if you tell a woman, you get in a relationship with a woman, and you tell her something about yourself, about how great you are, she gonna be like, prove it. Or she's gonna help you prove that what you say you are. And so for a man, having that balance, you know what I mean, that helper within that relationship allows him to prove he is who he say he is. So you need that. Woman is the greatest gift in the universe. There's no reason we need to exist if there's no women. If ever all the women on the planet Earth died, I'm killing everybody. I'd rather be alone. I don't want to talk to y'all. Y'all, get away from me. I need woman. You know what I'm saying?
A woman. Once again,
yes.
A.
But I need my soulmate, though. Because I think anything under soulmate is just a compromise.
But you believe there's multiple
of circumstance. You know what I mean?
But you believe there's multiple options.
You believe in having multiple wives, is what you say?
No, I'm saying you believe.
Oh, I thought you were saying you trying to get into polygamy, is what you said?
No, you said that.
I mean, that's cool. Have you talked to her about this?
Your future wife, are you sure you could have already had a wife, but then.
We never get into that.
Okay.
You know, we never get into that. No, I do. I think that, but I just want to say this because I think that we settle a lot in life. And we settle.
What they say about settling?
don't know. Tell me.
What they say? No, you told me. What they say about being ordinary, mediocre?
Oh, yeah. You should never settle for mediocrity ever.
No, but what you said something. That's
what assimilation is cowardice?
No, you said Which something one? About mediocrity, about your goals and how you set them in mediocrity in terms of if it's realistic or if something's realistic.
Right. The path to mediocrity, the most traveled path to mediocrity is realistic expectations or goals or something like
quote
that.
Quote that. Quote that. I got you another quote, man. I was trying to get that out. Took a
in
while.
My mind, my wife is a beautiful soul. She is.
Are we praying right now? We're praying.
That's what people. Is you? I do like to study body psychology, and this is what a person. This is, I guess, why I did start praying in that moment. So, stop it.
I'm praying for you too. I'm praying for you.
My wife is a beautiful, intelligent woman.
Where is she at?
She is my soulmate. The other piece, she creates that balance and harmony.
We're gonna find her.
You know, I know that she exists because man does not desire anything that he does not have the power to bring into reality.
Justice and equality.
The unfortunate part is, well, possibly, my wife knows I exist.
Where is she at, though?
If she doesn't know I exist, I have to bring awareness so that she becomes guilty
of
not being with me.
She needs to follow us.
We have to build a vision together. We got work to do, baby. Why are you wasting your time? Come find me. Let me find you.
He's not searching. He's waiting to be found.
I already love you. But at the same time, I have to work because I don't really have time to distract myself with the looking process. I have to find you on the journey of success because there's a lot of building that needs to be done. But if you build with me, we can create the greatest heaven that exists for guys and goddesses.
The greatest.
If it was like a dramatic zoom in, that'd be nice.
I can see if I can punch in there. Real quick before we wrap up. The interviews, man. You already mentioned a little bit earlier,
yeah.
But I want you to just talk about what was the experience like, man?
Man, that was dope as hell. I love her for that.
Talk like, to people. Talk to the people.
She got a really great spirit.
What happened?
Vanessa MD, man. We was able to set up the live on the IG stories where we was able to talk, and we ended up being engaged with 19,000 people. I like the number 19. I said 20 at first, but we will keep it at 19. 19,000 people. And I was just able to interview her about the differences between African musical artists and black artists out here in the music industry, about the reception that you're going to get when you get in Africa and how it matters what your intentions are. Her work with younger girls and like this girl who wrote to Obama and was able to get with like some water in her village or something like
she
that.
She had to walk a long distance.
A long
to get
distance
the water.
At first.
Just walking, just getting the water.
It was really about building a bridge between black people here in America and Africans on the motherland continent. And I think that establishing those relationships is so valuable and so important. And you never know exactly who you inspiring. And she said she loved to use her platform in that manner, and I thanked her for it. And she said she wouldn't mind doing further live interviews and videos with us. So that's gonna
and
be.
She
a dope
found
experience.
You just from seeing somebody. Yes. One of her friends showed her one of your
she
videos,
having,
she
and
she was
having
like,
back.
"This guy's speaking to me." You know what I'm saying? So
oh my God, that
that's
was
a beautiful
humbling.
Thing, all the way in Africa, and you know she has millions of followers, and is that a potential wife? I don't know.
I can't put that out there.
I'm gonna let that. I shouldn't have even said that. I was unprofessional. I apologize. But I wanted to also mention that I got a chance. Hey man, I'm just keeping it. It's all love. It's all love. It's all positive energy.
No, beautiful
good vibes. But I had to mention that I had the opportunity to do an interview when we were in Houston for Trap Art Houston.
Oh, dope.
With Toby and Fat, man. I want to tell the people about that because that was also a great experience for me, getting that chance to come across them. And the story is basically I was in Houston. We wanted to figure out who we could
for
feature
Trap Art?
For Trap Art. We were in Houston, and originally Hurricane Harvey had derailed us. We wanted to go there for Labor Day weekend. We couldn't do it because of the hurricane, but we rescheduled it for later in the month of September. We came to Houston, and what a wonderful city. I mean, just the people there, the energy. Right after the hurricane, too, man, the energy was still so positive, and really got that Southern hospitality out there in Houston. So shout out to everybody in Houston. But we specifically DM'd, well, I contacted and reached out to Toby and Gwigwi, who's a Nigerian artist.
Gwigwi, like that.
Absolutely, man. A Nigerian artist who was the first artist signed to Eric Thomas's record label, ET Records, his first musical artist. And, you know, E.T. the motivational speaker. If you want to, you know, succeed as bad as you want to breathe. That
if you can't breathe as much as you want to succeed, then you don't want it bad enough. It's a lion in you. Hey, dude, I seen him in person. He yellow funny.
Hey, so his first artist, man, Toby. And
should I do motivational talk like
you
that?
You already do. You just don't do it that way. You got to be you. You got to be you. Can I finish the story? Is that cool?
Oh, my bad.
Okay,
go
so
ahead.
Toby. Shout out to Toby, man. He's a great artist. Check out his music. He just came out with his first, one of his first EPs, From the SWAT. It's a great project.
And I don't try to just paint a pretty picture on everything. I try to give you things that I specifically went through and, like, people that I know specifically, like situations that happened to me for real. And then I put it in the story, but I don't just paint the negative picture. I'll always paint it only so people can realize that, hey, you have purpose for you. I just want people to understand that. I'm trying to bamboozle you into thinking that you have purpose. Well, to understanding that you do have purpose. That's it. I just want you to understand. So every bar is purposeful. Everything I do is purpose in the music. It's not, I'm not just out here just like, ha, I want to rap. I want to be cool. I'm going to be famous. Like, I'm good on that.
And you should check it out. And you can catch that interview on trapxart.com. And as well as, we're going to put the interview in with the interview you did. So we got some goodies, man, coming out of this podcast. So it's not just this, because nothing's random.
Nothing ever is.
I always say, man, I'm going to keep giving them the positive energy good vibes.
And I'm going to keep giving them the keys.
Because at the end of the day,
nothing is random.
Nothing is random. You were supposed to say the beginning of the morning.
I know. I realized that word. But I did it on purpose because, you know, it's nighttime and stuff. And
we a little discombobulated. But he's 19 Keys. I'm being Mechie. This is nothing random.
Positive energy, good vibes. I love y'all.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.